Well, good morning. It is good to see you on this Sunday morning. I'm very thankful for today, and just want to open by just saying thank you to you as a church for allowing this day to happen and for allowing me to be here this morning and to have the opportunity just to step into another role. And I do want to do something. I want you just to look at our student ministries just for a minute. And Amanda, I'm going to call Amanda out as well. These guys have been my life for the past 3 years almost, and I just want to shine the spotlight on you guys for just a couple of minutes. I'm so grateful for this group and all of the grace that you've shown me and for the many opportunities that you've given me just to lead, and Amanda, just to come alongside of y'all and to be a part of your life in a very small way. And thank you to you as a church family for letting me be a part of their lives. I'm so grateful, and I really do look forward to just whatever is in store next. I couldn't be more excited to come on full time and to be here. There's a lot more I could say, but in the interim, thank you. I'd love to just pray and then enter into God's word this morning for a little while. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful just for another day, God, and for another chance to be here, Lord, and to be your children. God, and we come to you today from all sorts of places, God. Some come from busy weeks. Some people come in with different illnesses and different things going on. We all come with different burdens. And God, we thank you that you allow us to come together as your church to be here, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you. And we thank you for the mission that you've placed on our lives. And we thank you that you just let unfit, Lord, and unqualified people be a part of the greatest work there is on the face of the earth. Lord, we love you, and we just invite you to come now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. What I'd love to do this morning is really just to share about the past several weeks that I experienced in London. The way I'd love to do this, and I know time is limited today, is to first tell you a little bit about how we got to London, where that fits into the picture, where we felt the Lord draw us to go and serve with a place called Saint Church. Then I want to get into some of the details just about day-to-day, some of the ministry opportunities that we were able to be a really small part of. But thirdly, really, and most importantly for you this morning, I'd love to just to make it applicable for you. Why in the world does mission matter for First Baptist Church of Birmingham on July 12th of 2026? And the resounding answer to the question of has God called me to missions is always yes for everyone in this room. And it doesn't matter what that looks like, but you are a missionary on God's field. And I want to, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this, that God has equipped you and has qualified you through his Holy Spirit to live on mission in the many different places that he's placed you. So why London? I recently wrapped up and graduated school at Beeson Divinity School over at Samford back in May. And the last degree requirement that our group had was to complete what Beeson has called a cross-cultural ministry practicum. And that's going to be kind of the theme of this trip. We waited until the last semester to take that trip. And I'm so blessed even to have a church here that sent me out and prayed for me and supported me. For the past 6 weeks, we traveled to East London and were able to be a part of God's work there. That course, the cross-cultural ministry practicum, is a little bit different maybe than the mission trip that we would be more familiar with. The main idea and the purpose of it is to basically force Beeson students to immerse in a new culture and to come under the leadership of a foreign church or a church outside of the Birmingham area. Most students do those trips abroad, and we were able to get connected to London. One of the primary reasons we ended up deciding to go to London and felt the Lord draw us to London was last fall, I think it was in October or November, there was a missionary who works with a European missions organization called Greater European Missions. And in that lecture, she presented and really opened our eyes to the work of the Holy Spirit. And she presented various statistics on church growth in the United Kingdom. And really, she talked a lot about how there's a rebirth of Christianity taking place in the United Kingdom. Our group connected with a place called Saint Church, actually a Samford student had served with them last summer, and we had a contact and were able to reach out to them. And we reached out to their discipleship pastor and began meeting with him last winter through video call, began praying. And we couldn't really explain it at the time, but we really did feel like the Lord had something in store for us once we made it to London. As you and I recall this morning, the Church of England has been significant in Christian history across many different periods of history. The Church of England's own history is not too far removed from our own nation's story, as you understand. In recent years, you and I have likely heard that places in the United Kingdom and really most of Europe are what people title or call a society as post-Christian. And all that term means is basically that Christianity has lost influence in a place where Christianity once dominated the politics, the government structures, and even just the cultural norms of a society. Yet, as you and I also know, the United Kingdom has also been a harbor for Christian living throughout the centuries. This has been the place of the great church leaders, the preachers, the hymn writers that we know, Charles and John Wesley, George Whitefield, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, John Stott, John Newton, Isaac Watts. Many of the hymns that we sing on a Sunday have come from across the Atlantic Ocean. And if you've traveled to England, you notice the country's landscape that is marked by cathedrals, old chapels, and different worship places for Christians. And the sad thing is this, that a lot of those places, a lot of those cathedrals, a lot of those churches, maybe architecturally look a little bit different than First Baptist, but are still places where Christians have once gathered to worship just like we do today. And a lot of those places have closed, have been repurposed for businesses, or simply are now designated as national or historic landmarks. But there is encouraging news. There's a lot going on there, and I want to show you just a picture. I don't know if it's up here. Here is Shoreditch Church. This is just inside of one of the churches that we were able to be a part of. This is Shoreditch Church, and this was actually where Shakespeare's actors, there were a few actors who would attend this church. And this is, I should have sent in a picture from the outside. But Handel's Messiah, if you've ever heard of the Messiah, most of you have, I hope. The Messiah, Handel, he was actually the music director in this church that we were able to be a part of. Historically, so many cool things to talk about, so many important names to list off. But in the United Kingdom today, getting back to the point, and then even in our own situation here in the U.S., because of secularization, there's been a strategic decline in church attendance and interest in scripture and overall lack of interest in Christian faith. It does seem, however, that there's been a resurgence in what God's doing. God has never done with his people. Even in a place like the United Kingdom where church attendance is on the decline, God has never once given up on his people and is always committed to bringing people into the kingdom, even in places that seem like they're desperate. And even if they're in a place, even in a desert land of spiritual faith or lack thereof, seems that God's doing a work there. I want to give you a picture of a church, of a sculpture of the prodigal son story that was located right outside of St. Church. This would look a little bit similar to Rembrandt's own version of it. But this sculpture is right outside the church office at St. Church. And you see the father welcoming the son in. And I think this sums up the story of spirituality, of Christianity in the United Kingdom. And it even really sums up saints' own theme and vision for ministry. They see themselves as a refuge for people who've left the church because of many reasons, but they also see themselves as just a harbor for people who are interested, people who are curious. And I'll get to this in a few minutes. There are people literally who walk in from the streets and come to church when they hear music playing, when they see crowds walking in, they see things taking place, and they come in and they see exactly what God is doing among his people. It reminds me of the Old Testament, how the Old Testament people used to run into the temple every time, and that is where the presence of God was found. If you remember Queen Sheba would travel to see Solomon's temple, and in a version, missionally, what God's doing is bringing people into his church. One critical report, just to give you some numbers, was put out by the Bible Society. Recently this year, they noted increase in baptisms and church attendance across several denominations. I want to make this clear, notably, Gen Z and younger generations are far surpassing any other generation or any other age group in those who are coming into church and also are reporting practicing their faith more regularly. It's very similar to what we see in our own country today at places like Asbury, where we saw a student revival there a couple of years ago. Even Unite US, which takes the gospel to college campuses around the continent. What God is doing is really stirring up faith in young people's lives. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church who does love our young students and who pours into them because God is doing something among them. When we talk about revival, we always need to remember that there's always agreement between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. One quick statistic just to give you that was recently reported by a major British publication said that since 2019, physical Bible sales have increased 134%. In just a 7-year time frame, how many people are going into stores, probably ordering online physical copies of God's Word. And what we saw in England is a curiosity, is an interest. We didn't see a lot of people trying to decode or to find God's scripture as a manual, but they were seriously considering, how does Jesus matter? Why does he matter for my life? Does Jesus actually make a difference in my own life and in my own story? And the overwhelming answer to that is obviously, yes, he does. And the church is just being a safe place to do that for these people. So we boarded a plane. We purchased our tickets. We embraced our Americanness, our Southern accents, and we went to be a part of whatever God was doing. I want to show you a couple of pictures of St. Church and a town hall there in Hackney. St. Church is an Anglican church, which therefore falls under the direction of the Church of England. There we worked under a site mentor whose name was Isaac Peterson. Isaac was just a great point of contact and director for the ministry opportunities that we had. Throughout the year, he was the one that we worked with to get into St. St. is an Anglican church. They do have 5 locations total. They serve just over 1,000 people in a given Sunday. Their Sundays look a little bit different in terms of how they do church, but they are coming under the same word, the same scripture that we are as they worship God. The primary location that we were able to be a part of was a place called St. John. That was the parish that we served in. That's a picture from the outside of it. This building was built in the mid-1700s, and Hackney, along with most of England, as you remember, was a very was hit by German bombing extensively in World War II. A community of Caribbean migrants came over on a ship called the Windrush. The British government promised them citizenship and housing for them to actually come and rebuild and help England's economy after World War II, and actually situated right around St. John's Parish is a very large Caribbean community that we were able to interact with. Many, many members of that community are part of the church themselves, which was interesting. We really enjoyed getting to hear a lot of those stories. The last Sunday that we were there, we actually had Windrush Sunday, so we were able to celebrate and honor those people who moved to London during that time. Saint's overall congregation is very reflective and representative of London's greater metro population of just over 8 million people. Within a 1.5-mile radius of St. John's Parish, there are mosques with Islamic mosques. There's Buddhist and Hindu temples. There's something called Wicca, as well as New Age spirituality shops that basically resemble what we know as witchcraft and forms of magic. All that is situated right around the church. We met dozens of nationalities, dozens of ethnicities and different races. St. Church is truly an international church. We were able to meet tons of people through just attending. I want to get into the day-to-day schedule and then kind of keep going. I don't want to be mindful of time. We were able to be a part of a lot of different things. I thought I'd give you just a couple of highlights. One of those was the prayer ministry that we were able to be in at St. Church. This was probably one of my favorite opportunities because we, on Sundays, joined a prayer team that would come forward during a response time And every Sunday we would have people that would come forward. And what was interesting during this prayer time was that people would come to us to receive prayer, requesting prayer that we as a group were actually needing prayer for ourselves. So they were requesting prayer for things that we were actually going through, and God was placing people in our lives to be able to minister to them on a Sunday morning. I'll share one quick story. One of the probably one of the biggest highlights of that prayer ministry was a man who came forward from Nigeria. He came forward in his lower 30s, came forward with tears in his eyes at an evening service, and he came up and requested prayer. And if you know anything about Nigeria today, you've seen a lot of the Christian persecution that has taken form there recently. You've definitely seen that. His brother, he's from northern Nigeria. His brother has been missing for several years. He requested prayer for him because he thinks his brother has been kidnapped by Islamic terrorists. And there we are, tasked to pray for him, tasked to minister to him. It was such an incredible opportunity, and we got to know him very well throughout the 6 weeks that we were there. And I want to remind you as a church, what we do together, prayer is central to what we do as God's people. Prayer is critical to the life of the body of Christ. I want to give you a quote from a Scottish churchman. You've heard of him, Oswald Chambers, maybe. He said that prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It's not something we do as a byproduct of being here on Sundays or showing up to work and praying on the way. Those are great things to do. But prayer is the lifeline that we have with the Lord. And we were encouraged by that. We were able to pray at the Monday evening house of prayer that Saint had. Every Monday night, people come for intercessory prayer. We were able to be a part of that. Quarterly, there is a prayer gathering that Saint Church has. Just in April, before we made it, they had over 2,000 people, most of whom are non-members at St. Church, come, line the streets and fill the building and worship and pray together. Second opportunity that we had was our Saturday evangelism events. We were able to be a part of a couple of those. If you've been before, if you've seen pictures, like most other metro and global cities, London is filled with apartments, businesses, congested roadways, underground, overground, train systems, but nestled beneath all this congestion are city parks. And so on Saturdays, Saint has a ministry team that's really comprised of lay leaders who go out and evangelize. And their method of evangelism is very simple, something that we could do in Birmingham very easily. Simply find people in the park, and if the Spirit draws them to that person, they go up and ask the person, how can we pray for you? And if the conversation ends up leading to a gospel conversation, then they certainly step through the door and share the gospel. One of the persons who led that ministry was actually married to someone who was on staff with the International Mission Board. Her husband was in accounting, and they had come together, and this was something that they do as a team every Saturday. We had a lot of great stories. I personally wasn't able to share the gospel and lead someone to Christ, but was able to share the gospel and to pray with several people on those Saturdays. Something just to tell you about in general, I thought this was interesting. One of the interactions that we had with a Danish pastor from Denmark, he gave us a really very insightful understanding about the British people at large and how to relate to them. He said this. He said that overall, people in England, or of course, even that can stretch farther across Europe, have relationally higher outer walls and lower inner walls. And to elaborate on that, what he means is that on the surface, in casual conversation, the European people are much more difficult to have a deeper conversation with immediately. But once you reach a point of vulnerability, of where the person feels comfortable with you to open up, we were welcomed into people's homes, we were welcomed into people's stories, and people will treat you just like family. I think there's some things that Southern American culture probably resemble, where we are very probably protective and very close with those that we allow in to our hearts. But we use that, of course, going over to Britain. We did hear a lot of different comments about how to relate to people, some of the personalities that we might interact with. And it was very encouraging to hear, and we were able to carry that with us. We were a part of a couple of Wednesday events that were really highlights for me. One of those was Alpha. Alpha was an evangelistic opportunity that basically allows non-believers and new believers to come together in a small group setting and to go through a Bible study curriculum. That's about an 8-week program. Alpha is a curriculum that started there in London and has actually made its way over to the United States. There's churches here in Alabama who are using Alpha. And then there's a second opportunity that I thought was probably my personal highlight throughout this whole trip, which was called Lighthouse. As in most global cities, there is significant homelessness in urban context. I cannot tell you how many people we interacted with that would come up on the street or come up to us as we even leave the church building, needing help, asking for help, requesting that our group do something to help them. I was with two other Beeson students, and we had to really think long and hard about how we were best going to serve and minister to these people. We have homelessness here in Birmingham. We see people on street corners all the time. But what St. Church does, and something that was very encouraging to be a part of, is every Wednesday they have a 2.5-hour lunch and fellowship time, a time where they give personal hygiene, clothing items to guests. And what our job was to do was to clean, to cook, to serve them, to encourage, to pray for them. And St. Church doesn't just feed and equip these homeless folks who come in. They feed them, certainly. They take care of them and meet the physical needs. But what they do is they critically invite them to be a part of God's worship on Sunday. So several opportunities that we had to minister there. On Sunday, one of my favorite people I met in the 6 weeks that we were there, his name was John. John was a regular attender at Lighthouse every Wednesday. We would get to know him. He would remind you that his name is John after John the Revelator, from John of Revelation. And John would come and share his story with us. John is rough around the edges. John is likely homeless, is struggling to find employment. But on Sunday morning, John is at church, and John is actively involved in the local body of Christ. The last Wednesday we were there, Saint had a financial and money management course that they offered for free. A lot of these people who come to Lighthouse don't have access to those skills and simply need someone to simply sit them down and walk through a budget, actually sit down and talk to them about how to save your money, how to actually spend it and steward it well. Very, very interesting to be a part of that. And the same challenge is true for all of us. There's so much more I could say about Lighthouse and how God really did, I think, a work in my own heart about how I think about the least of these. If you remember in Matthew 9, Jesus sees a crowd and Jesus looks on the crowd, and the Bible says that Jesus has compassion on the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what I'm not proposing to you today is to help every person who asks you for money or who needs something from you. But what I am proposing to you, and what I'm even convicted of myself, is that every person, no matter what they look like, no matter where they're from, even if they've interrupted your busy Monday morning like they have mine many times, is to actually see them as a person whom God has made in his image, with dignity, with someone who has opportunity and potential to be an active and vital part of the kingdom of God. Beggars can't be choosers. We've all heard that phrase before. Beggars can't be choosers. And I'm afraid that often I probably give the leftovers of what I have to people who need, whether it's the widow, the orphan, the impoverished. We are so called as God's people to give the best we have, to give whatever we have, but also to give the best parts of what we owe and have to minister and to give to people. Really is reflective of the gospel. If you think about how God has given to us, God's not given us plan B. God's given us plan A and his own son. He sent his own son to die for us. Therefore, we get to give in return. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we give with a joyful heart. We give in a way that ultimately results in praise and thanksgiving, dwelling up from God's people because of the way that we give. That was a personal conviction that I had and I wanted to share with you this morning. I want to get into, finally, just last and most importantly, why all this matters for First Baptist Church of Birmingham. There's a lot I could say this morning. There's a lot of things I could get into, but I want to kind of land here. Since 2025, February of 2025, St. Church has had over 100 people become Christians. Spiritually, there's much to be thankful for. We praise God that he is bringing people into the faith. Young people, older people, people who are coming from all parts of the world who are coming to Christian faith. But why does it matter for us? And why are we actually considering the conversions that are taking place there? And the command that God gives us in his mission is always centered on people. People at St. Church are coming to know Christ. We had so many interactions with people who would see a video of St. Church online, or they would view a service online or see a social media post, and they would just show up to church. They would show up needing prayer. I mentioned earlier that people would literally walk in from the streets. They would hear the music and come into a service, certainly not dressed for church, and they would come in just because they were interested. Ultimately, what the Holy Spirit was doing was bringing them into the church. And there's a lot of zeal. There's a lot of passion. There is a ton of excitement that's taking place in the church in the United Kingdom in a place like St. Church. But a really serious need remains, and the same need that remains for them remains needed for us today. And these are the needs of wisdom, of mentorship, of discipleship, and of grounding, in the gospel. A lot of what we saw are people coming into Christian faith, needing spiritual mothers and fathers, needing people to come alongside of them, to ground them in their spiritual walk. I want you to consider this morning, maybe just one or two people in your life who has really come alongside of you and poured into you spiritually. Maybe that's taking place right now. Maybe it was 50 years ago. Maybe it's yet to happen. But we all need people in our lives pouring into us, giving us encouragement, holding us accountable, praying for us, picking up the phone, calling us. And the question also for you and for me also is, who are we pouring into? God's placed people in our lives to encourage us, to shepherd us, but there's also the call to go and make disciples. We do that here at First Baptist. We take many trips, and we give, we serve locally here in North America. We do that with the North American Mission Board, with the International Mission Board. We value missional sending and missional giving. But what if you say, you know, God's not called me to get on a plane to be a foreign missionary? Has God still called me to missions? And the answer for all of us is certainly yes. I want to read a passage. We read it early. I want to go back to it and read it just quickly, and then we'll wrap up. And it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And this is a part of scripture that the Lord laid on my heart several years ago and was reminded of while we were in England. We'll read it again. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And what I tell you today is God's equipped you to be his missionary, to be his disciple, simply here in the community that he's placed you in, to also not only share the gospel, but as Paul says, we loved you to the point of sharing our lives with you. I don't know about you, it's a lot easier for me to get on a plane and go to England to meet people that really don't know me, that I don't know them, to share the gospel, but it's a lot harder when it gets personal. It's a lot harder to do that with people that are familiar with you, that are familiar with your own story, your own failures. But God is calling us, he's warning us to be a part of his mission by sharing our burdens with people, by sharing the brokenness that we have with people, sharing our homes, sharing our dinner tables, sharing our bank account. Whatever God has gifted you with, God has also challenged you to give it away. The kingdom of God is always about giving things away. And Paul says that it comes to you in the form of a nursing mother, taking care of her child, gently waking up in the middle of the night as a father does. Paul says in verse 11 and 12 that they dealt with the Thessalonians as a father deals with his own children, with his own child, with encouragement and comfort and conviction. And what is God calling you to today? I don't know exactly what that looks like for you this morning, but I do know one thing, is that God has given you a story. God has given you a skill set. God has given you encouragement throughout your life. I see grandparents, aunts, uncles, best friends, students, and everyone in between in this room that God's equipped you to go and to share your life with other people. And I pray that God continues just to show you what that means. There is such a need for spiritual mothers and fathers in the UK, and those same spiritual mothers and fathers are needed here at First Baptist Church of Birmingham. I heard a statistic several months ago, and I won't go to that report now, but I consider our own church students here, young people, Gen Z, the generations that are coming up, are craving mentorship. And they have the zeal, they have the passion, they have the excitement, they have the energy. But what we need, what we all need, are older people in the faith to come alongside of them, to take them by the hand, to call them, to go grab dinner, to pray for them, to pick up the phone, and to encourage them. And I'm grateful to be a part of a church who does that very well. And I want to say thank you for that. At this time, before I pray, I want to invite Dr. Cooley up just for a time of invitation, and then I'll pray. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for this morning. And God, we're so grateful for the opportunity, God, you've given us to be just your children, children of the light. God, and I pray that you would take us into the places where you are most needed. God, in the schools and the workplaces that we're a part of, at homes with our family, God, in the hospital rooms, wherever we are, God, would you actually help us to share not only the gospel with people, but to be open, God, to be vulnerable, to be personal with people, because that's how you have been with us. You've given us the best you have, and God, we get to do the same in return. Would you strengthen us? Would you equip us? And would you fill us with your Spirit? In your name we pray. Amen.